tonight. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. We've got a great program, a brand new series starting tonight, Being Rooted and Grounded. We're going to take our text from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. I want you to stay tuned. We got a lot of things to discuss, and we're going to start with Ephesians.
The word in Ephesians is to be rooted and grounded, and that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to eventually go to the electrical impulses that are directed from the Holy Spirit, something that inspires you to do certain things. And the Bible said you've got to try those spirits. So basically what we're looking at tonight is the rooted and grounded. And to begin, you must begin with good seed and good soil. The good seed is the gospel of truth, and our soul is the soil. To be good soil, we must break up the fallow ground and sow in righteousness, according to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Now, it's repentance that is the central theme of the rooted and grounded position of faith. Notice the first sermon that Yahweh ever preached to man was the sermon of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. That was his first sermon. Repentance. Now, what is repentance? To be zealous, therefore, and repent, as what it is told in Revelation 3:19, repentance is eternally significant for the Holy Spirit to begin His work in our life. He told us that no man can enter heaven without repenting. I want you to repeat that. No man. Without repenting, you got to repent. If you've got something against your brother, go to him and him alone. That's what the Bible says. Instead of that, today, they go behind your back or anywhere they can to hide themselves because they don't want to repent. Repentance is necessary to succeed with the Creator. If you're going to be blessed by Him, repentance is foremost in our life. Unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Now, if you really want to know the foundation of the faith that we call the Christian faith, it's repent. Now, how many times a day are you to repent? 70 times 7. Unless you repent, you'll perish. That's how easy this is. Now, what is repentance? Let's look at and see exactly what the Bible would call repentance. You know, there's a lot of... Judas repented within himself. But that wasn't a repentance of the good soil. Now the Bible says either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the repentance good, or the tree evil and the fruit evil and the repentance evil. Some people just don't, you know, they don't know how to repent. Some people know how to repent and won't repent. Some people, the repentance under the guise of hypocrisy, which a lot of people do. So let's go to Hebrews and we'll listen to a bad tree trying to repent. It just don't do it. A bad tree cannot repent. It's either good or bad. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree bad and the fruit bad. Look at this one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Esau wept over his errors, but did not repent, though he sought repentance. Now, how did he seek repentance and couldn't repent? Because he was a bad tree. He's a bad fruit. It just took time for the soil of his soul to manufacture the fruit. You got to wait on some people's fruit. By your fruit, you're known. And so you will know them by their fruit. Now, what about Achan? He was sorry that he got caught, but he did not repent. According to Joshua chapter 7, he had the wedges of gold hidden. He thought he had it hidden, but it was revealed that he was a thief, and he stole, and he took things that he shouldn't have, things that didn't belong to him. You know, some people want things that don't belong to them, and they'll take them just because they've got bad soil to produce the fruit, knowing that when he got caught, he was sorry for it. You know, he wanted to repent. But all these are worldly repentances according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Notice this. Bible repentance is a heartfelt sorrow. When sin leads one to the torture stake, that's what Christ died for your sins. We've all sinned and come short. There's none good, no, not one. We're all filthy in the sight of our Creator. But everybody views their way, and the Bible says every man's way seems right in his own eyes. You can't be that way. That's like an Achan or an Esau. Repent or you perish. Repent is godly sorrow that worketh repentance. And so then, if you want to repent, it has to come from the heart. It can't come from the mouth. And some people can talk the talk, but they never walk the walk. The walk that they walk is different from the talk they talk. And it shouldn't be that way. The word repent itself means to quit or to turn around. Some people say they quit and they can't turn around. When a person repents, he comes to the torture stake of the Messiah, and he realizes his unpayable sin debt, and he pleads the atonement of the shed blood of Christ, for we were all under sin. But somebody that can't repent of their sins is somebody that hides their sins, like Achan did here, or like Esau did, and they seek it, or as Cain did. You know, these are bad seed. And the good seed has a ground to grow in, and when it comes to repentance, that person realizes that that atonement and shed blood is the only significant payment for that sin. Now, if you'll notice that the conviction of sin, especially today, is one of the rarest things that ever strikes a man or a woman. Notice this. Conviction of sin. Being under conviction. You can tell when there's a guilt complex underneath. Achan's speech betrayed him. Esau wept over his errors, but he never repented. He went right out and done the same sin time after time by hooking up with a Canaanite. You know why? Because his deeds were evil. A bad fruit, a bad tree. Listen what it says when you get to the threshold of your understanding in this particular matter of rooted and grounded. Yahweh wants people that are not like waves on the sea, tossed to and fro like a ship with no rudder, drifting from here to there. No foundation, no honor, no integrity. Never had none and never want any. Just bumming around in the spirit. Listen what Yahweh said. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. In Matthew chapter 5, he was saying, in reality, blessed are those who realize that their spiritual poverty is evident and repent by pleading the mercy of Yahweh, and the repentance is the front door to heaven. That's the only door you can go through. There's no side door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, you've got to open through repentance. Repentance opens the door. It leads to our rooting and grounding, because repentance and faith are the two things that are on the same side of the spiritual coin that we need to toss into our life and start by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh. And then have enough integrity to confess our sins. And if we confess them, He's willing to forgive them. Now, notice this. Just as repentance is the turning point from sin, faith will turn you to your Maker or your Creator. Faith and belief come from the same root word. Remember that. Believe on Yahweh and you will be saved in all your house, they told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31. Believe on Yahweh with all of your heart and you will be saved and all of your house. Now, you know what the Bible says about a divided house? It won't stand. It's going to fall. And it's doomed to fail and to fall simply because of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. So you cannot be rooted and grounded if you're not planted. If you're planted, you're dead. Now, if you're dead to sin, some people haven't died. They can sin and wipe their mouth just like a whore. When she does wrong, she wipes her mouth and says she's done no wrong. Because she's a whore. She's got that whorish mentality. She'll never repent of her sins because it's not in her to repent. She don't have the soil. And she never realizes her spiritual poverty, which she's living in. She thinks she's rich. Just like the Bible said in Revelations, when he talked about the great whore, Jezebel. He said, I'll cast her in a bed, and everybody that she drags in to her bed and commits adultery with them, they'll be judged with them. That's because there was no turning from sin. No repentance. No heartfelt sorrow. No reckoning that there's going to be an atonement or a payday. And as I said, conviction of sin. How do you convict one of sin today? People's hearts become gross, grossly maladjusted to repentance.
I ain't done no wrong. I'm as good as this. I don't have to do that. I'm better than so-and-so.
Always pointing the finger away, never manning up and confessing up to repent. Repent means to quit. But a sinner will keep on sinning. Or they'll justify it. They'll be like Cain. like Judas. When he did his double cross, when he committed a sin against his friend, what did he do? The money all of a sudden that he had turned in his friend for seemed awful dirty. Didn't want to touch it. He wanted to flee from it. He wanted to get away from it. But those that bought him controlled him. And when he flung the 30 pieces of silver back into the treasury, the Bible said it went for a potter's field. Poverty. Someone that couldn't afford to pay the debt because it was a lack of repentance on the act of the transgression. Faith defined is commitment to the spirit of truth. And when you're led about by ever wayward spirit, tells you to do this and then tells you to do that, and then makes you think it is Christ leading you, you're being led by a spirit of error. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which is committed to him against that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. What have you committed against him? He's your sin debt bearer. If you have sin, confess him. If you have sin, repent. Repent means to quit. But when you go back time and time again and you can't resist putting your hand to the plow and then looking back, just like Lot's wife, she couldn't come out of Sodom and Gomorrah because she was caught up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, she was a worshiper. She had lived with Lot, a just and a righteous man. She'd lived with him and had children by him. But she was still unaccountable for her actions, and she forgot that she didn't have a commitment, and she put her hand to the plow and she looked back, and what happened? In 8:22, the book of Acts, the Bible says repentance and faith are gifts from God. Now listen to this now. You didn't know that, did you? Read Acts 8:22 and see if you're having trouble repenting and changing, you're still always doing the same thing you're doing. Repentance and faith are gifts. It's not something that you just go down at the drugstore and buy and wear around like a drugstore cowboy would do and change his appearance. You know, when someone suddenly changes their appearance, there's problems. Because the old self is saying goodbye to the new self coming in, and the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't change yourself. If you don't have the good soil capabilities to plant and grow in, then you can't be fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which you commit to him. Because what you commit is like Judas. What you commit is like Achan. What you commit is like Cain. Unstable. Always. Always trying, but never achieving, because they don't have that gift that Yahweh said, when the word convicts you of sin, you can accept and receive Yahweh as your Savior. To them, the Bible said, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1, verse 12. If you ain't got that power, if you haven't been given that special power, if you don't have the soul capable of letting that power grow itself into a rooted and grounded disciple, you'll be putting your hands to the plow and looking back. Now, I know so many people like that. They put their hand to the plow, they run well, and something hinders them. Always got an excuse. Notice this. Shelah. You ever read that in the Bible? Good roots. Listen to this. Good roots demand good soil. If you don't plant in good soil, I don't care what kind of root. If you plant it on a rocky soil, I don't care what kind of root it is, it has to have good soil. Some plant in rocky soil. Some like let the cares of this life or the lust of riches and beauty deceive them, and they're no longer planted in good soil. Although they're planted, they can't grow. They wither and die when they're tried. Shelah is a Hebrew word which means to stop, to meditate, to pray, and to think on these things. A lot of people never realize the cost of their life and what it means until it's lost, or it's lost its root, or it's lost its grounding, and it's just like a ship without an anchor set in a stormy sea. Their life is cast to and fro. Now, what is Bible repentance? What is the truth? What does it mean to believe in the Creator, Yahweh? Remember that the Messiah came to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. Those that mourn were going to be relieved. Those that were in the world and loving the world. Remember the rich young ruler that he asked to follow him? But he had many things to do and he didn't have time. Remember the guy that married a wife? And Yahweh asked him to put him first. And he couldn't do that. Remember the man that bought a yoke of oxen or a fine John Deere tractor or something that we would compare it today instead of a yoke of oxen, because not many people plow with an oxen. But the Bible said to not tread out the ox that treads out the corn. Not to muzzle the ox that treads the corn. Not to withhold anything that is deserving of those who have repented and put on the whole armor and are warring for your soul. It's an experience to have faith. Not all people have faith. They don't want faith. They use your faith. They want to lean on your spirit. When things go wrong, they want to call for your water, or call for your root, or call for your planting abilities, simply because they fail to understand that the meaning of sin without enlightenment of the Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory, and when the Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin, John 16:8, and you're included. You're supposed to be honorable. Your word is your bond. And they'll hug you and say they love you. And at the same time, they're putting a knife in your back at the first chance they can get. That's not repentance. That's Cain's repentance. Yeah, Cain, he put the knife to Abel, spilled his blood and said, "Well, what have I done? I'm not his keeper. I'm not responsible for him." Look at Esau. "Well, I've just got a whole lot of people running around here that are adulterers and bastards. They don't know their father. They've left the Creator Yahweh. I've not taught them in good soil. I've married these bad seed. You know, you can be living with a bad seed and not even know it. The Bible said, try the spirits. And once you give a spirit enough rope, sometimes a spirit will demand enough rope to be hung or hang itself. Notice, sin is something you do, not something somebody else does. The issue in salvation is not sins, but sin. Sin is what you are. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. And that has to be in your heart. For what is in the heart proceeds out, and that's your fruits. You'll know a tree by its fruits. Just stick around a man long enough and you'll see what kind of fruits he plants. I mean, he'll talk one thing, and his seeds of planting, the fruit of his life will identify him sooner or later. Or her. Sooner or later. You sin because you have that sin in your heart. Man was born in trespass and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and 1. We're all born in sin. We've all got a darkened heart, deserving the righteous judgment of our Creator and sent to hell. For all have sinned. Sins are but the result of your condition as a son of Adam who must repent before he perishes. Now, repentance again is quit or to turn from. The man that bore your sins became sin for you. Now when you sin, after you have the knowledge of a Creator, there don't remain any more sacrifice for your sins. Alas, did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? The fall of Adam was completely blurred in the image that we should have had from the foundation, which is the image of Yahweh. Adam's fall, through the trickery of him who said, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to become a god. You can make your own deal here. You just go ahead. It's all right to do this. Eve, go ahead and lay with me. I know you belong to another man, but it's all right. Go ahead. There ain't no consequences. That one sin turned the world into a chaotic, fallen state that has never been repaired and never will be. Total depravity. It don't mean nothing to people that are not saved. They can be totally void of understanding because of sin. Sin got them blocked out. You cannot become saved until you realize you're lost and that you're a sinner. You know what? The young publican, Yahweh have mercy upon me, a sinner, and wouldn't as much as look up. Nothing in my hand I bring, as the lyric says, simply to the cross I cling. You can't bring nothing there in your own righteousness as Cain did. You gotta be totally submitted that you're a sinner and that you're lost. When you try to hide your sins behind your fruit, it is the fruit that stinks long after you do. Your doings is stinking in the nostrils of Yahweh. Sin is so horrible that the torture stake was the only way that Yahweh demanded sins to be washed away. It required a sinful sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb which taketh away the sin, not sins, sin. It was a singular act for that one sin. Today we got little sins and big sins, but sin is a transgression of Yahweh's law. Thou shalt not, Satan. And Satan said, oh, but have you considered that the day that you do this with me, your eyes are going to be opened up and you're going to see me for what I really am? Satan really talks to the mind. And Satan can deceive the mind so quick. Oh, I see so much in you, honey. That's fine. Until you wake up and you sober up from the drunkenness of the ignorance of your transgression. I woke up many a night not knowing where I was at and who I'd been with. That's a bad state of mind to be with. You better wake up and realize it's daytime. Sin is the intolerable burden of a soul destined to live forever. It's a madness in the brain, a cancer in the heart, without repentance. And it will grow till a root of bitterness springs up into you, as did Cain, who rose up and slayed his brother. You know, we've got people that can stop certain sins like smoking and drinking, but they can't quit lying and cheating. They're quick to point out that they don't smoke or drink, but the rest of their life is a continuous hypocritical walk, because the fruit, and your fruit will follow you. You're known by your fruit. Redemption means that you're bought from the slave market. You've been purchased by the blood of the Messiah. This blood is not an unholy thing. The price of redemption is a scarlet thread. It's going to take more than you quitting smoking and drinking to make it through the kingdom too. Because you don't smoke and drink don't mean that you're going to go. If you don't have a heart of true repentance and fruit to back it up, you can't go to heaven and hate your brother. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well, and thousands more. Yahweh findeth none, though the restless foe accuses, sins recounting like a flood, every charge that our Yahweh refuses. When fear not, faith answered with a moment. And we can define sin by saying that there is no difference between sin and sin. The only difference is one or a million can send you to eternal hell. Repentance can save you from one to a million or more. How powerful is the blood? So powerful that it can wash you like fuller soap, according to the Bible. Man's problem is that he has a debt to pay, and he must pay that which only God is able to pay. And so therefore he must conform to Yahweh and confront Yahweh to be a cover of his transgressions, and to plead the blood over his sin. And having accepted his truth, you can receive Yahweh's truth and you can get cleansed. For Christ's atonement covers, but in Adam we all die. Now, after the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, the Bible of justification means simply declared righteousness by the blood and not by you. You can quit. But if you say that you have not sinned, you make Yahweh a liar. And if you say that you don't sin, and then you go out and your fruit denies your walk, it's not your talk, it's your walk. Righteousness is the result of you placing your righteousness in his life and then living by his rules. What is the rule? Justification and righteousness come from the same root word. Justification means that Yahweh declares you are righteous through him. Therefore, justification means perfect in his blood, not your own. If you have submitted your unrighteousness to the righteousness of Yahweh, then you're rooted and grounded and saved through the promise that the love of Yahweh is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It stretches to the highest star and it reaches to the lowest hell. I know how Calvary presented us a cross, a world from sin could free. I only know its matchless power has brought Yahweh's love to me. What is justification? What is righteousness? Again, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's the finished work. It's something that roots you and grounds you. It's something that can trust you and love you and freely share their life with you. That's what Christ wants to do. If any man opens, I will come in and sup with you. That open has to be a repentance knock. It's a repentance door. Not as Cain knocked. A lot of people have took Cain's route. How can you say you love Yahweh and hate your brother? Despise your brother. Misuse your brother. Mistreat your brother. How can you do that? And say you've got the love of Yahweh in you. Righteousness is something that Yahweh provided and his Spirit secures for you. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. In evil long I once took delight, unawed by shame nor fear, till a new object caught my sight and stopped my mad career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and spilled blood, who fixed his precious eyes on me as near the stake I stood. Oh, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not one word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and drove me to despair. I knew my sins his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. At last, I know not what I did, and all my tears were vain. Where could my trembling soul be hid? For I, my Yahweh, had slain. The second look which gave my way, he said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for your ransom paid. I died that thou mayest live. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a Savior. We're rooted and grounded in Him. We're regenerated by a new birth from the heavens, born from above. Like the saying, if a man is born once, he'll die twice. But if he is born once, he can only die once. And after that, the judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, man must be born from above because he's in his trespasses, dead from the sins of his first birth. You were altogether born in sin. And we fell through transgression, and there was a requirement of repentance. Cleansing, being baptized to walk in newness. The spiritual nature that we lost in Adam has to be regenerated and put back in our life with the image of Yahweh. This is why I so clearly said, as I make this point to you to read tonight in your study of Rooted and Grounded, the basic promise that I've read in the New Testament, and I've read it a long time. It's the covenant that Yahweh wrote in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, starting at verse 10. This is the covenant that I will make with them, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds, and I will write them. And again, in Jeremiah 31, you can live this life to its fullness because Yahweh died for you. O joy of joys, of grace, that Yahweh should condescend to make my heart His dwelling place and be my dearest friend. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a friend if you're rooted and grounded and you're not tossed to and fro, and you've got honor and you've got integrity. You stand on your feet like a man. But if you slip around, sow your little sin here and your little sin there. Sanctify means to make holy and set apart. Very few people are holy and sanctified. Sanctification means the act of setting apart before the Creator that you could be used day after day, rooted and grounded. After salvation comes sanctification or growth. The goal of those who have turned their life over to Yahweh is to make you like Him every day. There's no change in this life. If you live in this life, you're going to suffer. You're going to be set apart. You're going to be scrutinized. Satan is going to attack you 99 ways to one. He's sanctified, you'll fall. Because you're not rooted, you'll fall. You'll wilt if you're not grounded. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about the grounding process of sanctification. We're going to get into some of the deeper things of why it's important for you to find the energy lays in your life, the pressure points of your spiritual being. Glorification is someone who is in the final step of Yahweh's master plan. Glorify me with thine own self, the Messiah said. Can you say that tonight? Father, put the finishing touches on me. Glorify me. Or do you have a carnal mind filled with sand and rocks and thorns and thistles and briars? Have you become corrupt when Christ, who is our life, shall appear? Then shall you also appear with Him. But you know that when He shall appear, you shall be like Him, for you shall see Him as He is. Remember, it's a two-way mirror. Yahweh sees how you are. And if you don't walk being rooted and grounded, love your brother whom you have not seen, and treat him the way you want to be treated. If you don't want nobody to steal from you, do you steal from somebody else? If you don't want anybody to do you harm, do you harm someone else? Or is your justification like Cain? He put up an excuse. What about Esau? He put up an excuse. Are these excuses good enough? Was Judas's excuse good enough? No. He felt condemnation. He went out and hung himself. It was a just death, because he repented. And if you read that scripture where it says he repented within himself. If you don't repent to Yahweh, have you praised Him in your heart for your future glorification, the day that He will examine you and see if you're worthy? You understand the difference between justification, sanctification, and glorification? Justification is that you come to a just cause, His cause, not yours. You change your way. Sanctification is that you put on the whole armor. And glorification is the day that you have assurance that you know nothing can separate you. Not height or depth, width or breadth. He's promised that I will go with you all the way. No one can pluck you out of my hand. And no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. John 10:27-29. Confidence. Assurance that you're rooted and grounded. Are you ready? If Yahweh elected you before the world was, then you know that your salvation cannot be lost if you'll accept it through repentance. But if you refuse to repent, which was the first message, feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. And this you've got to know. My hope is in the Word of Yahweh. For it's forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Jacob really believed a lie for 17 years. Naught else is worth believing. I'll trust in Yahweh's unchanging Word till soul and body sever. Though all things pass away, Yahweh's word shall stand forever. Are you ready to stand? Are you rooted? Are you grounded? Are you able to take the punishment
that the devil is going to put you through? He's going to test you like gold tried in the fire. Three men were walking on a wall, feeling faith and fact. When feeling got an awful fall, and faith was taken back. So close was faith to feeling, he stumbled, and there he fell too. But fact remained and pulled faith back, and faith brought the feeling too. Have you thanked Yahweh that you're still in the search? That you're still in the race, that you're still rooted and grounded? Have you thanked Him today for delivering you? No matter what would come your way. Remember that if you're to stay strong, you must daily kneel and pray. If you're saved, you've got a testimony. And defeat is not in your vocabulary. You must press toward the mark, and you must follow the pattern that was laid down for you, that if you live godly in the Messiah, you're going to suffer persecution. My life before, I changed. Will now forever stay the same. Because once changed, I am as He is. And where He stands, I stand. 10,000 ages ere the sky were into motion brought. All the long years and worlds to come stood present in His deepest thought. There's not a sparrow or a worm but found in His decrees. He raises monarchs to their thrones and sinks them into their knees. Ladies and gentlemen, the sovereignty of Yahweh takes away vainglory. You see, the deceptive Satan is so powerful. The doctrine that are so prevalent today, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. Oh, I go to this church and they say it's okay. But what does the Bible say? For He said to Moses, I will harden who I will harden, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Esau got none. Cain got none. Judas got none. David, a man after Yahweh's own heart, failed and come short, but mercy he obtained. For why? He walked with Yahweh in the Holy Ghost reign. Martin Luther said, predestination is the sweetest of all doctrines. I read that a long time ago. Predestination means that Yahweh is sovereign and His love is from everlasting to everlasting. As He stated in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 that I was reading a while ago, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Predestinated by grace and through faith, rooted and grounded, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved us was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's love to you tonight. Be rooted and grounded and settled in your plan. You're listening, Pastor Buddy. Brand new telephone number tonight. Area code 423
351-1082. Write that down. Call me tonight. I'm using the phone tonight. We have a brand new landline here at the King's Gate Inn. I send my loving greetings to all of the King Gate disciples. Many blessings to you around the country, and I love you very much. We'll see you tomorrow night on the late call at WWRB 3.185. Write me tonight, brand new address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. And I'll see you. Yahweh bless you.